Thank you, Daryl and Praise Team. As we prepare our hearts tonight and gather around the Lord's table, we like to just reflect upon a few thoughts from God's Word just to help us just do what the table is designed to do. Jesus said, and we embark upon that often on the front of our communion table, he just simply said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we're here tonight to remember. We're here tonight to reflect and to know God's love for us and the life that he's given for us in his Son, Jesus Christ, as we gather around the Lord's table and partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And we reflect upon all the things that God does for us and continually through us as a church family. So as I look tonight, I want to share just a few thoughts from John's Gospel, chapter 6. As we look at this, Jesus gave the great discourse here in John 6 on him being the bread of life. Tonight we're going to partake of the bread. The bread always reminds us of the life of Jesus Christ, the very life that he gave on your behalf and my behalf. And there's some significant things here that we'll see as we just reflect, and I hope that it will remind us tonight as we come to this table to be refreshed. You know, in life, we go to our normal tables and partake of physical food often. On an average, if you eat 3 times a day, and some of you may push that, so you're doing it, you know, 21 times a week. You know, you're gathering around a table to be replenished. And so there's some symbolism in that, because on this occasion, Jesus did perform a miracle and he fed them and met their physical needs. But this was a sign to remind them of a deeper feeling that he offered them, and that was to meet their spiritual needs. And so even tonight, it's just like God to give us such a ceremony, such a symbol of our faith, that we can come together and never forget what he has done for us and who he is for us. And so I pray all of these reflections tonight will help you draw your heart closer to him as we see this. As we look at this passage, the main passage I wanted just to read from, a few verses from John 6, beginning in verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in that last day." The background for these thoughts are where Jesus performed the miracle in the first parts of John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, where Jesus actually fed the multitude and performed the miracle. You know, the Bible tells us on that passage that he did this when he saw the multitude and he knew their needs, and Jesus knows each one of our needs as we come here tonight before his table. I know we've reflected upon that, and we know that we have needs in our life, each and every one of us do, if we're honest. Some of those may be physical needs or financial needs or emotional needs, but most all of us have spiritual needs. We need more of God and less of ourselves, and this is what this passage and even this service tonight will illustrate for us and remind us of that. But Jesus, he came and he said this to test him, because he already knew what he was going to do when he had asked Philip what they would do to feed the multitude. And Philip started to try and to figure it out mathematically how much it would take to do that. And while Philip was trying to run the math and run the figures, and that's how we are humanly, we try to figure out everything we can, there was another disciple, Andrew, who came and brought a little boy, and he said, "This young lad has 5 loaves and 2 fish." But even Andrew was unsure, and he said, but what are they among so many? And so Jesus would tell the disciples to have the multitudes to be seated. And it says, and when Jesus had took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to all who were seated. Sometimes this observance tonight is called Eucharist, just from the fact of giving thanks. And so tonight as we come to the Lord's table, even like Jesus gave thanks when he was asking God to bless and multiply those few loaves and few fish to feed the multitude on that occasion physically, we need to give thanks tonight on how God provides our needs each and every day of our lives. And we need to be thankful. And this needs to remind us to take our attention off of ourselves and put it on him who is our full and final provision for everything in life. And Andrew did a noble thing by finding the little lad. And every time we see Andrew in Scripture, he was bringing other people to Jesus. He wasn't one of the most significant disciples in the ministry, but he was always finding people to bring other people to Jesus when we see Andrew in Scripture. And so I think tonight that as we come to the table and we're refreshed and we're reminded and we're renewed spiritually, it should remind us to be an Andrew when we go out into the world tonight, and we should help other people come and experience and taste and see and know the deep things of God that God has blessed us with each and every time that we gather in his name. After Jesus had performed the miracle, it says he told his disciples to depart, and they got into a boat. And then they got into trouble, and Jesus came to them at night. You remember that account. And then the rest of the crowd came and gathered the next day, and they were trying to figure out how Jesus had come there on that occasion. And Jesus answered, truly I say unto you, and this is what Jesus, he said, you are seeking me because, not because you saw the signs or the miracle that I performed, he's referring to, but because you were filled with the loaves. And then Jesus gives this foundational word in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Reminds me of another conversation he had just a little bit earlier, and John gives us that account also in John chapter 4 when he had conversed with the woman at the well. And the disciples came back and they said to him, Master, eat. They were speaking and thinking of physical food. And Jesus said to them, I have food to eat that you know not of. And tonight God offers us food to eat that many in our world know not of. As we come to the table and are refreshed by him and we partake deeply of him in this time of communion, and we see this. And so that's the background of this setting, and it's fairly simple, but as we look at this and we truly understand, I just want to leave you just with a few thoughts before we actually take the table back to our primary text, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger. I want us to know that the hunger that Jesus fulfills gives us ultimate satisfaction. Ultimate satisfaction. No one else can satisfy us the way Jesus does. And so when we partake of the table tonight, may we remember that Jesus is the one who truly satisfies me. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We live in a society today that is consumed by wanting more and more and more and more. Never content, yet the Bible is very clear that godliness with contentment is great gain. Jesus told us we brought nothing into this world and we'll take nothing out of this world. Why are we so easily distracted with other things that don't fully satisfy? They're just short, quick, false substitutes that the devil continues to throw at us time and time again to distract us from the true bread of life that truly satisfies us. Jesus went on to say in this passage, Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And so not only did he bring hunger into this, he brought thirst, another essential element of our physical existence that he brought into the scenario as we see this. So not only does he satisfy us, but he's speaking of how he sustains us. We will never thirst. Now tonight, even as I reflected earlier and shared just a brief passing moment of the context of when Jesus gave this account, he had visited those disciples as they had tried to get to Capernaum, as they had left the place where he had fed the multitude up on the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee, and he had traveled there in the boat, and the waves had raged in the storm, and they were frightened and they were filled with fear, and Jesus entered the boat and said, "It is I. Do not be afraid." See, not only does Jesus satisfy our deepest longing, but Jesus also sustains us in whatever storm we're facing in life. Whatever you're going through, it's Jesus who will get you through it. Jesus is the one who gives us strength and stability. Jesus is the one who nurtures us, who helps us endure the trials and the testings of life that are inevitable, that are going to come to each and every one of us. And some of us never make progression in our spiritual growth and our spiritual life because we can't pass these tests, because we keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And God is saying, you need to learn to feast on me. And let me be the one who satisfies you. Let me be the one who sustains you. And then finally, let me be the one who secures you. Everybody in our world is looking for security and significance, whether you realize it or not. We want that identity. We want that security, that stability. And God is the one who secures us more than any other. Jesus went on to say, and I read these verses to you. He says in verse 37, "And the Father gives me all that the Father gives to me, they will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." I will never cast you out. You know, as I was thinking about the table, and I love having dinner and lunch around my family table with my family. I was privileged to do that today. And I think about the security that comes even into all of our lives. As you know, you have a home, a place you belong. And you have parents that love you. And so many in our world don't have that setting. And we need to be mindful of that, that we are compassionate and caring toward other people. But if God has blessed you with that, and we know that our homes, in a true sense of the word, should be, in the spiritual sense, the way God has ordained family to be, our homes should be a refuge for us. A place where we can come and know that we're unconditionally loved. And that we have, and so as we come to our earthly tables and understand that just in a small way, we need to be reminded tonight when we come to His table, that He is the one who gives us ultimate security in life. My identity is fully in Him. And all other things flow from my relationship with Him. And so He left us this table tonight as a symbol of our faith. And what a powerful symbol of our faith it is to remind us that He's the one who offers to us eternal life. And you know, someone has said, if you really want to know how wealthy you really are and how successful you really are, then count up everything that you have that money can't buy and death can't take, and you know. I think we've been doing some of the adding like Philip and adding with a different playing field. On numbers that really don't matter, because Philip tried to figure out how much it would cost to feed that great multitude. And Andrew said, "Here's a lad that has just a few loaves and a few fish." And it illustrates to us again tonight, like that little boy, that we can bring what little we have and give it to God, and He can do so much more with it. And God can make a masterpiece, and He does that, of each and every one of His children as we yield ourselves to Him. So tonight, as we prepare to take of the Lord's table, I just want to lead us in a word of prayer. And I don't know where you've been in this crazy world, in this crazy life that we're living in, but I just think this table is so special that it necessitates that we just pause and we examine our own hearts. Even tonight, before we come to the Lord's table, and if there's anything in our life that's not right, we would now confess it. And just ask God to come in as only He can and fully fulfill us and satisfy us and remind us of His sustaining power in our lives and His securing love and life that He gives us that no one can take away from us and that will always be there for us. So let me lead us in a prayer, and then we'll observe the Lord's table. Father in heaven, tonight we thank You for the Lord's table that's before us. And Lord, You've given us this ordinance, and You knew all too well how that we as human beings, we struggle. And we're forgetful. So You give us a symbol of our faith as the table to remind us to do this and never ever forget what You've done for us and who You are for us. And so tonight, Lord, we would confess our sins. And we would ask You to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It may have not been acts that we've done, Lord, but even as Your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts now, it may have been attitudes. It may have been sins of omission, where we haven't been doing what You've asked us to do. And Father, we would ask in a way that only You can, that You would cleanse us tonight. And You would draw us to Yourself and remind us once again that as we partake of this cup, that it's the blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone that cleanses us from all of our sins. And Father, I thank You for the brothers and sisters in Christ tonight in our church family as we gather together around the table, Lord. I know that communion is ordained, that it would draw us closer to You. But I also know, Lord, it will draw us closer to one another, and You've ordained that as well. So may we have a deeper love, not only for You, first and foremost, but may our love grow deeper for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are here tonight. May we even confess if we have any grievance or if there's been any distance that we've allowed to come into a relationship, Lord, that even as a result of being in Your presence tonight, Lord, we would just go and make that right as Your Spirit would lead us. We thank You so much for all You do for us, for all You are for us, and we pray You'll bless us as we gather around Your table this evening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here tonight and want to partake of the Lord's table, I ask you to stand as our deacons come forward. We know that this table is for believers who know themselves to be true believers in Jesus Christ, and to the best of your ability, you're following Him. And as our deacons gather, they will distribute the bread to us momentarily. tells us that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and then he instructed them to partake of it. So let's bless the bread tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for this bread and what it symbolizes. And Lord, we pray it will remind us that you are the bread of life that has come down from heaven, Lord, and you satisfy our deepest longings. And may we come to you again and again. We thank you for your provision of life that you enable us through the very life that you gave. And Lord, tonight we pray you'll bless this to our lives and remind us tonight and refresh us and renew us spiritually that our lives would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may partake. The scripture tells us that he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, all of you, and this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Father in heaven, we thank you for the cup tonight that we hold in our hands. It's a symbol of your precious blood. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed for our lives and our sins, that we might have eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, may we continue to come to you again and again and again, recognizing, Lord, that it's through your blood shed that we have salvation. And may we be grateful tonight and thankful as our hearts reflect on our own salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture says that at the conclusion, they sung a hymn and they went out of the Mount of Olives. So Daryl's going to lead us.
Many of us sang this one growing up in church, so y'all sing along. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.